All right, we're going to call the meeting to order. We've got a quorum arriving, but we thought we'd start with the testimony so that we can get the meeting underway. I won't, Representative Mason, as a result, I won't move the bill until we reach a quorum, and then I know that there's amendment as well. So Representative Mason, to your bill.
Chair members, House File 35 is a basic consumer bill about cell phones, and you did hear it last year, but because the stakeholders had some concerns about business-to-business contracts, prepaid phones, coverage maps, and third-party billing, we called it back to go through some additional meetings and to get the bill closer to where we need it to be. And I think it's a bill that's extreme, has generated a lot of interest. I know that it's needed, and I would ask your support.
Thank you, Representative Mason. I see that you've got some folks to testify in support of the bill.
Yes.
Okay. They could just identify themselves for the record and proceed with the testimony.
Karen Olson, Deputy Attorney General, Attorney General's Office, Chairman and Representatives.
Good afternoon, Chairman and Representatives. Kai Ritzer, Assistant Attorney General in the Consumer Division.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chairman, Representatives. As Representative Mason has indicated, this is a bill essentially in very similar form as to what form was presented in the House last year. There have been a number of stakeholder meetings where Representative Mason has met, we have met with the industry and attempted to address some of the concerns that the industry has. For example, excluding out prepaid per-minute service from the required disclosures, and also more clearly defining who the end person is that would receive the disclosures. For example, customers, an individual or business, a corporate entity making a bulk purchase. So therefore, if it was a large company and the purchasing agent is the one making the purchase, the disclosure would reach the purchasing agent, not to perhaps the 1,000 individual employees that work for that company. This is an issue. This bill was originally passed out of the legislature in somewhat of the same format in 2004. Many of you will remember that it was subject to a preemption argument, and ultimately the Eighth Circuit determined that it was preempted due to a provision in the bill that prevented any change in the fees until a certain time period had passed, and they considered that to be legislation impacting the terms, the rates of the cell phone carriers. This is an issue that has received both national attention and lots of attention in the state of Minnesota. It is one of the most complained about issues to the Attorney General's office. It is a company, the industry itself is one of the most complained about industries to the Better Business Bureau, and it has also been the subject of federal legislation proposed by Senator Klobuchar. As Representative Mason indicated, this bill provides some basic consumer disclosures. It's not preventing the companies from entering into term contracts. It's not preventing the companies from entering into any contracts with their customers. This is merely providing that if they do enter into those contracts, they choose to extend the contract, that in fact the consumers get meaningful disclosure and consent to any contract extensions. The Attorney General's office has received lots of complaints regarding third-party billing. For example, someone simply thinks that they're going to respond to a survey, and unbeknownst to them, they've either purchased a ringtone that comes on their bill monthly or joke of the day, and so it's a fact that they're not actually consenting to what the company has been billing for them, and it's allowing, similar to landlines, the opportunity for the consumer to go back to the company, indicate that they did not consent to that charge, and the company would then either have the third party provide authorization or verification that the charge was intended, or would take the charges off of the consumer's bill. The contract extensions has been a significant problem from the complaints that have been generated to the Attorney General's office, where people are indicating that they were called up, they were offered a 10% discount on their bill because they were a good customer, and unbeknownst to them, their contract, which they readily admit when they first entered into the contract, they agreed to a 2-year term, but they did not understand when they agreed to a 10% discount that their contract would be extended for 2 additional years. In addition, the consumers are indicating that when they change rate plans, they change minutes, they increase, decrease minutes, that they have had their contract extended. This is an issue that has been ongoing. The industry is aware of these complaints. The industry, of course, even the consumer complaints that are received by the Attorney General's office would have received letters from the Attorney General's office indicating that these complaints have been received and how they respond. The Attorney General's office has many complaints of people complaining that they have spent 15, 20 hours on the phone trying to resolve this issue, asking the industry, where is the evidence that the contract was extended, and the industry has simply indicated that there is no evidence, but they're stuck because that is the manner in which business is done. Attorney General's office is asking that you move this legislation through. We believe it is strong consumer protection and that it is necessary.
Thank you, Ms. Olson. You're just a phone a friend?
I have nothing.
Okay. You're certainly welcome to make comments as well, but I think, is there any other testimony in favor of the bill? Is there anyone else that desires to testify with respect to the bill? Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, my name is Keith Weigel. I'm the advocacy director with AERP Minnesota. And depending on what the final bill looks like, we certainly are in support of this legislation and appreciate Representative Mason's work and stakeholders on trying to get to it. So we do think that with the provisions that have been worked out, that having enforcement go along with it is an important thing. So that would be our one concern as the discussion carries forward.
Thank you, Mr. Weigel. Is there anyone else that desires to be heard with respect to this bill? Welcome to the committee.
Chair, Representative, my name is Mike Bennett. I'm Executive Director of Consumer and Government Affairs for AT&T. I'd like to speak briefly a little bit on the background, and I'll talk a little bit about the bill itself. During these hearings the last few weeks, we've heard, in my opinion, the integrity of our industry has been impugned. And what I want to do is first start off to tell you how proud I am of the wireless industry, how proud I am of my company, AT&T, and just give you some background on which I base that sense of pride. The industry has been a success story. In 1983, there were zero customers in this industry. 25 years later, there's over a quarter of a billion in the United States alone, 256 million. Just in Minnesota, since 2000, the number of customers have doubled from 1.8 million to 3.7 million. I heard yesterday in testimony in the Senate that the industry lacked competition, that the industry had high prices. Let me address that. In 1993, the U.S. Congress passed a law that mandated that the FCC on an annual basis do a detailed, extensive analysis of the status of competition in the wireless industry and report back on a yearly basis. They just finished their 12th report. It came out a month ago. And I quote, "The report demonstrates that U.S. consumers continue to experience significant benefits, including low prices, new technologies, improved service quality, and choice among providers from competition in the wireless marketplace." That same report found that since 1994, the effective rate that customers pay in the United States for wireless service has gone down 85%. In that same time frame, from 1994 to today, the usage, the average user in the United States uses their phone 522% more. So everything that's supposed to be going up is going up, and everything that's supposed to be going down is going down. And finally, from a Merrill Lynch report of earlier this year, the United States wireless user pays the lowest rate per minute of any user of any country on the planet. That's from Merrill Lynch and the FCC. Now, beyond rates and beyond network and beyond who has the best, most advanced services or the lowest or the best calling plan. The industry now competes in all areas. We compete on who can make the best disclosures and make it easy to understand for the customer. We compete on who can provide the most detailed online interactive coverage maps, showing where we have coverage, where we don't have coverage, and how good the coverage is. We compete on the length of the return policies. You know, several carriers now have 30 days. We give you a full month to trial our service, and you can cancel at any time for any reason and not have any penalty and get all your money back. And now the industry competes on another key element, which is contract extensions. The AG's office has said in the testimony many times over the last few weeks that contract extensions is the number one problem. Let me tell you how the industry, through competition, has already addressed this issue. Now, we did it in late last year, so it's possible that the complaints haven't seen a decrease yet. But the industry understood when a customer just wanted to change their plan. It didn't seem very consumer-friendly that a carrier would extend their contract. And the industry reacted to that. The customers didn't like it, so what happened? Alltel, AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, and T-Mobile, all today, all announced, actually Alltel was doing it for the last 3 years. They had a more consumer-friendly policy. I give them credit. But the other four carriers announced in October, November of last year that we were no longer going to require any extension of your contract if you were just changing your plan. You want to pay us more money? You want to pay us less money? You want to delete a feature, add a feature? We will not extend your contract. We got it. We changed it due to competition. The only time your contract will be extended now is if you voluntarily agree, I want a new phone, and you know what? I don't want to pay full price for it. I want a $150 discount. And I realize if I do that, I have to commit to a two-year contract, and we make all the necessary disclosures at that point, just like you were a brand-new subscriber. On the complaints, I think I heard it 15 times yesterday, and I quit counting, that we were the most complained about industry. And to me, if unless you put things in perspective, we have 256 million customers. We have 3.7 million in the state of Minnesota. We are not the most complained about industry in Minnesota or in the nation. Let me just give you some information here. If you took the complaint rate, the complaints of the AG, they say there was 1,061 complaints against the industry last year. All the carriers in the state of Minnesota only received 415 of those complaints. So we say there's 415, they say there's 1,061. I'll give them 1,061, but let's put it in perspective. The best I can do is say, let's picture the Metrodome on a Sunday afternoon, and the Vikings are playing, and it's capacity. It's a sold-out crowd. 64,121 fans in attendance. If you used the AG's numbers of 1,061 complaints last year, the monthly complaint rate out of that sea of humanity, there would be 1.5 fans out of 64,000 who complained to the AG on a monthly basis. Hardly rising to the level of some problem that needs a legislative fix. Also, let me move on to the Better Business Bureau. It is true that for 3 years in a row, the industry has the most complaints of the Better Business Bureau. So let's again put it in perspective. There was 28,000. If you look at the monthly complaint rate on 256 million customers, you get that same, actually less than 1.5 fans in the Metrodome on a Sunday afternoon out of 64,000 complaining on a monthly basis to the Better Business Bureau. Again, these are industry figures. This is not AT&T figures. These are industry figures. Finally, and I'll turn it over to Ms. Knutson, we've heard in testimony that Minnesota, this law, that all the other states are looking at laws like this. Let me set the record straight. It is my job. It is Ms. Knutson's job. It is the job of all the industry to make sure we know every bill in every state that impacts our industry. Besides Minnesota, the only bills that are out there are in New York and New Jersey. Three states out of 50 are looking at legislation that's similar to this. Not 50, but 3 out of 50. And with that, I'll turn it over to Ms. Knutson.
Thank you, Ms. Bennett. Ms. Knutson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Beth Knutson, and I also represent AT&T. I appreciate you giving the time for this issue, and I want to thank Representative Mason, the chairman, and Representative Johnson, who have worked so hard on this issue over the last few years. We've been working with them and the AG's office to try to find some common ground. I don't know if I should, at this point, I understand you have an amendment. It hasn't been offered yet, but I think we're coming a long way towards addressing a lot of the key issues that the industry has raised. I want to just be clear, though, that it's never been a sticking point about whether there should be disclosures made to customers. You're entering into a contract that requires the meeting of two minds, and so obviously we want to make sure that those customers are informed. It's never been a question as to what should be disclosed to the customers at the point of sale. The sticking point has always been throughout this legislation how that information should be disclosed. Mike didn't have an opportunity to kind of show our customer service summary, and I know it was in the packets that were supposed to have been passed out earlier this week when the bill was pulled. But we went through focus groups, multiple focus groups, multiple iterations of this document. We at one point had a 5-page document, and we gave focus groups scissors and tape and asked them, you know, what order would you like to see this information in? How would you want it presented? And they told us. And so we would prefer to use a document that's been given to us by our customers and not something that's mandated by the state of Minnesota. Briefly, I would just like to go over the five key concerns that we have remaining in the bill in case it does progress on beyond this point. First, under required disclosures in Subdivision 2, we're concerned with the phrase, at the time of sale. And it's repeated several times throughout the subdivision. Our concern with that is that in a wireless world, at the point of sale is a little ambiguous for us. There may be a case where I go to the store, I buy my dad a phone, I get in his service plan, I take it home, I wrap it up. 3 weeks later, I give it to him as a gift. He opens it. My dad doesn't own a cell phone right now, I can tell you. And so he goes, I don't know if I really want this. He waits a week or two. He looks at the booklet. He decides he'll go ahead and activate it. At the point of activation is when our 30-day return policy starts. And we have, you know, one of the longest return policies in the industry, the longest. So that 30-day return policy kicks in at that point. Well, where was the sale? At what point was the sale made? Is it activation? Where would those documents need to be provided? And so that's one of the concerns. Another is that in subsection B or 6, depending on the version you're looking at, it requires a specific acknowledgement from the customer that they understand the early termination fee and that prices could change during the term of the contract. And again, that would just require a change in our processes and incur a lot of additional financial burden for the industry. When we've looked at the data from 2006 that was provided, there were 92 complaints on contract extensions, and we don't feel that that's at this point 42. Worthy of 42 for contract extensions. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm sorry. For early termination fees. I'm sorry. For early termination fees, it was 92. We don't feel that that's worthy of the investment that would be required by the companies. In Subdivision 3, we had provided the AG's office with some language that they were going to take and look at that would model the truth in billing language. In Subdivision 4, there are a couple concerns that relates to third-party billing. And one of the things is that we've defined now customer, but if my husband and I have a joint family plan and my name is on the account, if he wanted to buy a ringtone, based on the language in the bill, it would require my approval, not his approval as the user. So we would want to sort of clean that up. Also, in that section, it talks about, you know, how long a customer has to dispute a new charge on their bill. And in some aspects, the AG's office offered to model it after the Fair Credit Billing Act. And we would prefer to see it modeled after that act in its entirety. In other words, they allow a 6-month retroactive to dispute a charge, and the Fair Credit Billing Act has 60 days. And then finally in Subdivision 5,
the extensions and contract language. It starts out great with, you know, A, and then it says, here's how you have to do it, if it's online, if it's in person. And we're just saying, just tell us what information needs to be provided and let us figure out the best way to provide that to the customer through our methods. So with that, I will cease my testimony. Thank you very much, and again, for all the time that's been spent on this with you.
Thank you, Ms. Knutson. Thank you, Mr. Bennett.
Okay.
Is there anyone else that desires to testify with respect to the bill? And we do have, actually, we had a quorum for quite a while, but I wanted, as long as, I didn't want to interrupt the testimony to do that, but the chair will move House File 635 be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Public Safety and Civil Justice. It is my understanding, Representative Johnson, you wish to move the A16 amendment. Is that correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chair. I'll move A16 amendment.
Thank you, Chairman Johnson, in your capacity as chair of the Telecom Division. Do you have thoughts or comments? I know I've got brief comments with respect to that amendment, but if you have any, please share those.
I'll just note it adds the definition of commercial mobile radio, and so it doesn't include information services, but that's one of the important parts. It adds the definition prepaid wireless service, adds a couple items around disclosure, including clarification of peak and off-peak minutes, as well as early termination fee provisions. And another important change, I think, was removing the 14-point font size, and I'll also note the deletion of the penalty enforcement subdivision 6. So I think it represents a good faith effort by parties involved to continue working on this important work.
Thank you, Chairman Johnson. The only comment that I had, this is not an author's amendment. Normally we put those on routinely, but the additional comment that I would make with respect to it is when the bill came out of Chairman Johnson's division, there were concerns that were raised at the telecom division level, which are, and there was a commitment made that those concerns would be addressed before it came out of the full committee. In keeping faith with those concerns that were raised, we've been working with just about anybody that'll listen, trying to find some language that gets at that. One of the concerns, Representative Johnson went through them, I think, very well. A couple that I would highlight, one that just drives me nuts is 14-point font, 12-point font, and all of that, because when you're talking about national companies or international companies, they need to compete nationally or internationally by definition, and to have a single state put out prescriptive language about a contract makes it difficult for folks to operate. I think we have still in the bill that it needs to be clear and conspicuous. One other point that I would make, and that is with respect to the remedy provision that is in the current bill, there was the concern that was raised, and I think rightly so, that under the bill as it currently stands without the amendment, you could literally punish the clerk making $8.25 an hour at the store for an inadvertent error in the same fashion that you would go after a giant multinational corporation for making a fraudulent intentional act. And the two just don't seem to equate, but I think that penalty is up to $25,000 plus fees and costs and other provisions. And at least at the clerk level, that to me seemed like, and to many others that came and shared the concern with me, like taking a sledgehammer and hitting an ant. So the I respect Representative Johnson's point on that part in particular. That is why it ought to go off to the Public Safety and Civil Justice Committee for further discussion of the remedy. But my hope is that they will give very careful thought to that particular point, just as we have tried to do. With that, I will support the amendment. I'll take, is there other comments with respect to the amendment before we take up the amendment? All right, seeing none, all in favor of the A16 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, that motion carries. Is there additional comments or questions from members of the committee? Representative Zeller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'd first like to start off, Ms. Olson, I'm not sure if you were here, I think it was a year ago or longer.
No,
but I believe Subcommittee Chair Johnson was. Representative Mason, you were here. Chairman, the Vice Chair of the committee was here. I can't even in good conscience address the bill. You bald-faced lied to us. You promised data. The Attorney General sat right where you are, Ms. Olson, and said, I will get you the data you requested. Five separate members of the GOP have requested this information from you. I myself requested it twice in two different committees. In Chair Khan's committee and this committee right here. The Attorney General herself sat in the exact chair you were in and said, I will deliver that. I'm not sure what you're talking about. Please me to believe that staff and management communications are somewhat abysmal. I will get you that information. I promise it to you. Just this week, we got a sheet, not from the Attorney General's office, not even from the carriers. We got it from Representative Thiessen, who, after exercising his frustration with your office, finally got it in the subcommittee hearing, I believe, last Friday. He was kind enough to share it with the industry folks. He was kind enough to share it with us. Unlike the Attorney General's office, after committing, that's not an, whoops, we forgot. That's not a, we'll get it to you, we'll send it in a letter, we've put it in the mail, we've checked. Our research, legislative assistance, the mailroom, top to bottom, nothing, absolutely nothing has come from your office. When we requested the data over a year ago, simply asking the advocate, we aren't going to give you the personal data, the home phone numbers, the addresses, that's not what we asked for. We asked for the data right here. A breakdown in what the complaints were about. Mr. Chair, if we're going to continue this conversation, I don't think we should do it here today. I move to table the bill.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Ellis. Is there discussion? Well, there is no discussion with respect to it. I ask for roll call, Mr. Chairman. That's just fine. Chair votes no. You get your roll call.
Anderson, Angel, Burns,
aye.
Dabney,
no.
De La Forest, Dominguez,
no.
Johnson,
no.
Knuth,
no.
Lilly,
no.
Mahoney,
no.
Mullery, Paulson, Peterson,
no.
Simpson, Silberry,
no.
Sellers,
aye. Motion fails, 9-2. Ms. Olson or Representative Mason, do you wish to address that concern that was raised by Representative Ellis?
Okay, and I apologize. There has, just to address part one, there was a different person that was handling it at this point, and I will turn it over to Karen to see if she was aware of what was happening.
Chairman, Representatives, I don't want to make any excuses, however, I will tell you that I was not with the office last year at this time with this legislation, so I really can't comment on what happened in this body or in other bodies last year. I can tell you that I do have a copy of a letter that was sent to the Representative Thiessen regarding the consumer complaint data and the percentage of wireless complaints as respect utility complaints, and that was sent during the last legislative session. The other request that I dealt with personally was CTIA, which is a wireless organization, asked for an update of that. And so, as you heard the prior testimony of the cell phone industry, that is where the 1,061 complaints are coming from.
Thank you, Ms. Olson. And Representative Zellers, I apologize as well. I should have, as chair of this committee, I should have followed up on that request when we did not. And I recognize. And in fairness to Ms. Olson, quite frankly, you were not with the office when that promise was made. But we also didn't follow up, so I offer you my apology as well. I believe that the data has been, as of, what, a week or so ago, Representative Johnson, we've got hard numbers now from the Attorney General's office, so at least we're operating under. I don't know how to compare it to the Metrodome, in terms of the actual figures, it's 1,061 apparently. So, Representative Ellis, further comments? You do have the floor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, and that's actually, we probably could have ended this discussion and not had this bill in the first place, which I think we need. Representative DeLaForest said last night that one of the bills was the worst he'd ever seen. I think this is the most frivolous I've ever seen. We've got an industry that's reacting to requests from their carriers, their providers, their customers, and based on your data, from what you've heard in testimony before, during, and after today, or last year, this is all about contract extensions and fraud when it comes to those contract extensions. And by the 2006 data, and by the way, again, Ms. Olson, actually, this is to Representative Mason, since it's your bill, we were told last year that there were somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500 complaints per year. So they either blew it by twice as much or almost three times as much. But if this is all about contract extensions, by your data, we see a number of 42 out of 3.7 million customers. I'm curious as to why we need a legislative fix for a problem that is not even minuscule in the amount, but it's almost statistically not there.
Representative May.
Okay, the focus of this bill is the basic consumer protection. And I don't know anybody that doesn't have experience with someone that has had problems with their cell phone. As late as yesterday afternoon, I had a constituent talk to me about the fact that he's now on his second provider. But he was willing, and he's disabled, and he was willing to come here to testify because he feels so strongly that there is some type of protection that is needed. So, we're talking about all the numbers that have been bandied about, I guess, I think are only relevant to a point. My job is to do the best I can for the residents in Minnesota, and this is the consumer protection bill, and that's what I'm trying to do. And as has already been alluded to, we have spent a lot of time trying to address the needs of the consumers, trying to work with the providers to come up with a bill that is palatable to everybody. It's been a constant work in progress. We've tried to do something that is palatable. Their work is addressed. So, I appreciate your opinion, but I still believe it's necessary.
Representative Zeller.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And from a basic consumer protection bill standpoint, adding to the the cost of the service for the consumers you're purporting to protect, I think, is actually flying in the face of that. The island we're going to create here in Minnesota based on these laws is only going to add to the bottom line of the ratepayers. The people who are out there getting a cell phone are going to pay more under your bill. The providers under this awfully auspicious, thank you to the chair for taking out the font difference, because I think that would have been yet a bigger island, but we're creating costs in here that the consumers are going to have to pay. Either that, or we're not going to have cell phone towers, we're not going to have technology updates, we're not going to have high-speed internet on our cell phones. On the one hand, you may think you're helping the consumer, and again, not that we're not here to protect consumers, but 42 consumers had a complaint about their contract extension, and that's what this started off as. We can now shift if we've got the data that proves that it's really not the biggest issue on the face of the earth. I think it was compared to the mortgage crisis last year when we were here. But you have not worked with the industry. I think the fact that the chair had to offer one of these amendments proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that you may have, Representative Mason, but the Attorney General's office has not. They've flaunted the industry, again, refusing to give them these numbers, give us the numbers, the number of complaints. They refuse to work with a lot of other states that are putting together these boards where somebody independent of the AG or the legislature or the cell phone industry collects the data, and then you all come together and decide, okay, how many complaints? 33 other states have that, but we're not going to do it. And actually, it's working in other states. We've done research here that shows that other states actually do see this as something positive. It's a positive consumer protection, and it doesn't require laws. It doesn't require $25,000 fines. And again, thank you, Mr. Chairman, for at least correcting some of that. But we're going to create an island in Minnesota, and I, for the life of me, can't figure out why, with the number of claims, the number of complaints dropping, unless, of course, we have claims that are being made up. And based on some recent media reports, maybe that's what's happening here. Maybe some of these claims are being boosted, or maybe we're double counting. Maybe if someone calls back twice, that's two complaints, but it's really about the same issue.
Kind of like the aftertreatment organizations in reverse. Is that what you're thinking? I'm sorry.
No, I was thinking about this. If you want a specific example, I was thinking about the lawsuit that may or may not be coming because a lawyer in the Attorney General's office is asked to find a suit for an issue they wanted to sue on. That's what I was referring to. But Matt, Mr. Chair, and again, to the author, Attorney General's office, you're currently suing a provider based on a lot of the information in here. If you're already suing somebody, a cell phone provider, Sprint, for some of these claims, why do you need this new law to go and sue again?
And Representative Ellers, I'd be remiss if I didn't caution you on stepping close to that line on the previous comment. You know the one I'm talking about.
Just reading a news report, Mr. Chairman.
I understand, but you know what I'm alluding to.
Sure, Mr. Chairman.
And anybody want to tackle the question that was posed to the concern?
Ms. Chairman, representatives, it is correct that the office has filed a lawsuit against one provider. It's a public lawsuit. It's against Sprint. It's solely focusing on contract extensions. It's at this point not on the other third-party disclosure issues. The reason that, I mean, we were here 4 years ago in 2004 where there was legislation passed. We were here last year, as I understand, with legislation as well. Yes, at this point, the office has initiated a lawsuit. I can tell you that it is as far exceeds 46 complaints that are the basis of that lawsuit for the contract extension. Don't believe that if this is a problem that affects all the citizens of the state, that a nationwide problem, that suing one company after another on each distinct issue is the most efficient way, which is the reason that the Consumer Protection Bill is being proposed. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Olson. Representative Zeller?
Yeah, well, thanks, Mr. Chairman. If you're suing on more than 42 complaints about contract extensions, then why doesn't it reflect that in the data? And again, since we've only gotten 1 year, I guess we can't tell where that number's been going up or down. But, and Mr. Chairman, as an attorney, do we traditionally, you can help me with this question, maybe Ms. Olson too, do we sue companies and then introduce legislation while we're suing them? Is that a traditional legislative idea?
Representative Ellers, actually, I'm aware, and the Attorney General's office may be aware, I'm aware of several instances in which that has occurred. Not necessarily from the Attorney General's office initiative, but where legislators, frankly, we read the paper and watch TV, and sometimes the goal is to be preemptive in that effort to try to prevent those acts from taking place and lawsuits from not having to occur.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Olson, do you traditionally sue a company and then introduce legislation? Will this legislation be used against the current company you're suing?
Representative Olson, I don't know if that was a promotion or a demotion, Ms. Olson, but that we all know. But Ms. Olson.
Chairman, representatives, as I indicated, that legislation was actually originally initiated last year, and I don't believe that it's unusual that legislation results out of lawsuits. I think that happens not only in the state of Minnesota, but also nationwide, where an event has transpired. There may be a pending suit, but the recognition is that the basis of the suit may be the necessary vehicle for the legislation. So,
the only thing, Representative Zeller, that I would add, regardless of the instrument that's been chosen across the country, several states, I believe 32 some odd states, have compacts. Other states, New York, New Jersey, Minnesota, are pursuing statutory remedies. But it clearly is the sort of issue that states are addressing. They've just taken a different approach. And I think the companies, quite frankly, there's sort of a hyper-competitiveness among those companies as well. I know all I have to do with my carrier, who shall go unnamed, is threaten to change services. And suddenly whatever concern I had magically goes away. But I also spend a fortune on my cell phone, I guess, or my kids do. But
messages.
Do you have additional questions?
I just had one other question, Mr. Chairman, for now. The assurance voluntary compliance of the AVC agreement, last year we asked about that. We were told, I believe, that Minnesota isn't doing it or isn't interested in doing it. I'm just curious as to why or what are further steps, and again, from working with the industry, as you claim you were going to, you know, why you have not done what 33 other states have done with an AVC agreement.
Ms. Olson.
Chairman, Representative, I believe that the voluntary assurance that you're talking about was enacted approximately 3 years ago, and I believe that the term is shortly coming to an end. I was not with the office at the time that the state proposed to enter into that, so I am not able to discuss at that time why the state of Minnesota did not enter into that. I simply don't have that knowledge.
Thank you, Ms. Olson. Representative Ellis.
Well, so Representative Mason, as the historian of the bill, can you help us with a little background as to why the Attorney General has...
My understanding...
Representative Mason.
Mr. Chair, Representative Zeller, my understanding is that this hasn't been successful in some of the states. And we obviously are getting different types of information here. But that's my understanding. The Attorney General at the time would not sign that because he felt very strongly about it. And some of the states now are not... It seems to be not working out well in some states.
Representative Ellis.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just in case, for the record, our good staffer Ian got a phone card and started doing some dialing and checked with those other states, and nothing could be further from the truth, Representative Mason. They're actually finding great success with this because they're not having to involve government in a lawsuit side of it. Rather, they're having voluntary compliance. They're working with the industry. They're working with those of us in the legislature here, and they're actually having great success with it. And so, rather than putting all this into law, and I guess, Mr. Chairman, on the previous question, we're going to introduce a bill too so that we get a settlement, or vice versa, we get the bill passed. But the AVC has been successful in all the other states, and it's only two other states that are trying this attempt, and no surprise, it's New York, but New Jersey, they do what New York does. So that nothing could be further from the truth about the AVC. That's not what we've actually found in real live data in calling other attorney generals' offices and listening to them. Again, it's their compliance officers saying this is successful. So that's just going forward, Representative Mason, that's absolutely not true.
I'll have to make sure I let my friends in the Garden State know that you just said they do everything that New York does. Best of luck getting home. that's just my friends in New Jersey.
Yeah.
But any other questions or comments? Sure. Representative Burns?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Mason, for having us hearing today. We have... since I've been here, short time, same as you, we passed a number of consumer protection legislation, pieces of consumer protection legislation, a number of which were authored actually by Representative Dabney. And a lot of those things do a whole bunch of real good work to protect Minnesota consumers. And I'm appreciative that the folks at AARP believe this is a very important issue for their members. Consumer protection is always important. Of course, the devil is in the details. And I, for one, certainly appreciate the use of wireless technology and cell phones. I think everybody does. It's something that has made our lives in some ways easier. Some people would say in some ways more hectic, because you can't get away from the phone anymore if you have a cell phone. And we know that the technology is changing very quickly. Now, Ms. Knutson laid out 5 concerns when she testified. And it seemed to me, in listening to those, that they're kind of technical, but those concerns all relate to the ability for customers, you or I, or our neighbors or our constituents, the ease of use of that cell phone. And that is important. And I'm concerned, you know, devil's in the details, if we pass legislation that really harms the ability of customers to use their cell phones and to get full use out of them, we're setting a bad precedent in going forward. And that's what my concern is that if we pass some of these this regulation, we are, like Representative Zeller said, we're creating an island here in Minnesota. So my question to you is, with this amendment going on, have you been able to address those five concerns from Ms. Knutson?
Representative Mason?
I think that is what I believe Representative Johnson was trying to do. It incorporated many of the things that were in the information that we got from one of the providers.
Representative Byrne?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Could I, Ms. Knutson hasn't testified since the amendment came out, I believe. Could I ask her the same question if she still has her same concerns with the new amendment to the legislation?
Can I, Representative Burns, in fairness, Ms. Knutson, and you can just nod if I misstate this, but she said that she was going to try to testify as amended. I indicated to her that it's, I think she still possesses concerns, and the record should reflect that.
Okay. All right. I know, Representative Mason, you put a lot of work in on this. But as I look at this, we still have a little ways to go. Like I said, I think those five concerns are legitimate ones, and I think we as a legislature don't want to stifle the whole industry's innovation, ability to innovate and grow and serve the customers and serve you and I and our constituents. I do have a question for you, Representative Mason, or for the Attorney General's office, and that is, we don't have any trend data on complaints from the Attorney General's office. We haven't received that. So are the complaints going up or going down?
I think that's best to Ms. Olson. Unless, Representative Mason, if you happen to know from past discussions, but it would certainly be the Attorney General's office that would be in possession of that data. That's a great question, though.
Chairman, Representative, the data that we compiled for CTIA, and this was sent on December 14, 2007, indicated that in 2006, wireless complaints comprised 718 and total utility complaints were 3,173, which approximated 22.6% of utility complaints. In 2007, our files indicated 1,061 wireless complaints and approximately 2,951 utility complaints. So the approximation there would be approximately 36%. So for that, from 2006, yes, the numbers went down. If you go back a few years in 2004, 2005, we have 924 in 2004, 912 in 2005, and then there was, as I indicated, the dip to 718 in 2006. And then back up.
Any sense, Ms. Olson, any sense in at 2008?
Chairman and representatives, I would just really be guessing at this point. I know that obviously with regard to the contract extensions, there's been a significant increase in complaints. We have, of course, filed a lawsuit against Sprint on that issue, but I would not be able to tell you the exact number of complaints.
But I'm curious, and I'm treading on Representative Byrne this time here, but many of the companies did away with that back in, I want to say, October-ish, November-ish, again, through just out of competition. I don't know that they wanted to. I'm just curious if there's been any early trend yet on a reduction in the number of complaints since the issue, for the most part, in the industry has gone away.
Chairman, representatives, no, we have continued to see an increase, and it's not as respects this one company. The complaints continue to come in regarding extension of contract length. I also, within the last month, spoke with one of our in-house, the people that help mediate the complaints, and she indicated to me that there is a continuing problem with the third-party billing regarding the ringtones and the joke of the day and those type of billing, not that that's the only one.
So they just give them little excerpts of what the legislature said, and then they're... No, I'm just... Representative Burns,
thank you, Mr. Chair. I would also like to get industry perspective on the complaints and where they're going, so I'd ask one of the testifiers here if they could also fill us in as to
that would,
what they
find
a trend.
Mr. Bennett? And I think he alluded that to that in his original testimony, but maybe just specifically to that, if
right.
you might.
Chairman, Representatives, we, the industry, through a third party, canvassed all the wireless carriers in the state of Minnesota, and there were eight. And those eight represent about 99% or more of the wireless customers in the state of Minnesota. In 2006, those carriers received 415 complaints from the Attorney General's office. That's why we have a little bit of a problem with 1,061, because we only received 415. So the question becomes, where are the other 600? You know, we receive those, and we keep meticulous records of any AG complaints, obviously. So if you look at that data, the complaint rate in the state of Minnesota for Minnesota AG complaints actually decreased 39% from 2006 to 2007. So the trend is moving in the right direction.
Thank you. Representative Burns?
And I have a follow-up, Mr. Bennett. And it's, you work in the industry, and I'm trying to learn about your industry. And I appreciate your statement at the beginning about your pride in your industry.
Mm-hmm.
And help me understand this. Cell phone technology obviously is a new technology, relatively. You have, when the industry started, nobody had a cell phone. And at the beginning, there were lots of incentives, growth very, very fast. So a whole bunch of people across the state and across the country bought cell phones. And that's where the competition was. It was, I'm going to sell you a cell phone because you don't have one now.
Mm-hmm.
And as I understand it, and please correct me if I'm wrong, at some point the market becomes fairly saturated. And then, I'm a free market guy, so then your cell phone company is competing against other providers, and you're trying to lure, like the chair said, a customer from somebody else.
Right.
And it would seem to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, you would do that by providing good customer service. And the absolute last thing you would want to do is have these problems that we've heard about. So there would be an incentive. You have to make money. Employees at A&T have to be paid. You would want to do everything you could to reduce those complaints. Now, I've heard you say that actually the trend is in the right direction and it's going down. And I would also assume that sometimes cell phones and other technology is complicated. You would also have an incentive to get more customers or to capture other customers from another client to make things easier to understand, like your bill. And it seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, you put this bill together so it would be as easy as possible for your customers to understand. And I imagine the cell phones are probably getting easier to use as well. So I mean, that's my understanding of industry. Am I missing something? Are you doing everything you possibly can to reduce customer complaints now?
Chairman, Representatives, I mean, the answer to that is a resounding yes. As I kind of alluded in my testimony, the industry started off competing on who had the coolest phones and who had the best plans. That evolved over a period of years to who had the best network. Then it evolved, and by the way, those other, so we still compete on all those things, it's just that there's other things to compete on, who has the most advanced services. But about 3 years ago, the industry began to figure out the next competitive differentiator for the industry was who can be the most consumer-friendly. Who can make things easy for the customer? Who can disclose things up front, like that customer service summary? Who can disclose in excruciating detail how much, you know, where your coverage is? I will tell you that by having that document that you have, Representative, that I've shown here today, by implementing about 2 years ago an interactive online coverage map where our customers or, you know, potential customers can type any address in America and zoom all the way down and see their neighborhood street level coverage, and we show it to you in three different shades of orange, which means the likelihood will it work inside your car, your home, or standing outside. Then we adopted who can be the most consumer friendly on the return policy. We had a 15-day return policy. We made it 30 days. And then, as has been alluded to, for competitive reasons, we changed, all the carriers changed their contract extension policies. So getting to your other question, Representative, 80% of all of our new customers are switchers. So
So it is getting saturated. So we have all the incentive in the world to keep our existing customers happy and to do everything we can to woo customers from our competitors.
Thank you, Mr. Bennett. Representative Burns?
Thank you, Mr. Bennett. I'll direct the comment now to you, Representative Mason. And I really do appreciate the intent of this bill. Like I say, it's always the good thing to protect consumers. If I had a time machine, I can see maybe we could go back 5 or 10 years and then enact some of this stuff when we really did have a problem with consumer complaints. The industry, I believe, is maturing, and we still have problems, but I don't think there's any reason, financial reason, that they would not do everything they can to clear this up. And I think there's some reasonable, there is a reasonable solution to this bill, and I think we need to keep working to get there. That's why I can't support the bill at this time. And my example would be another new industry, like LASIK vision surgery. That has come a long way and in a short period of time, and that's good for consumers. They can now get it done cheaper and probably done better by their doctors, because we have been over-regulatory in that area. The market has corrected that. So I would ask you to please take my consideration in mind as this bill moves forward.
Any other comments? Representative Zelig?
Mr. Chairman, I just had another question of Mr. Bennett. I wanted to get on the record about the, which I think is along Representative Burns' line, I do want to see something done on the issue, but I'd rather see it from a voluntary standpoint. So I'd like to ask Mr. Bennett about the assurance of voluntary, the ABC agreements around the country. We were led to believe or told that those were failing or not working well or bad ideas. I'd like to see an industry perspective of, as you said, you travel around the country on behalf of the industry. How those ABC agreements worked?
Mr. Bennett? Chair, Representative, I was very involved early on with the 33 state AG assurance of voluntary compliance. It took several months of negotiating with those 33 state AGs and various industry members, and it went into effect July of 2004. And we think it's worked quite well, and we like the cooperative nature of industry working with government. Thank you.
And Mr. Bennett, just to represent Burns' question again, the trend data, if we can be specific to contract extensions, which seem to be the pivotal point of the lawsuits. How have you seen that data, the trend data?
Mr. Bennett. We average, Chair Representatives, we average, in fact, I don't mind saying it, we had 86 complaints with AT&T last year. It was the Minnesota AG's office. The year before, we had 177, down 51%. So these things that I've told you we've done are really paying off. As far as contract extensions, I think there's going to be a delay in us making a change like in October, November, and then, there'll be some lag time before maybe you would see a decrease in the complaints. Or sometimes, there's 30, 60, 90-day kind of a delay when you see a trend. We would expect the trend to decline based on that.
Thank you, Mr. Bennett. Any other Representative Zelig?
Just one technical question, Mr. Chair. Based on some of the data and information, and I'll request on the record again from Representative Mason and Ms. Olson that the GOP or the minority members of this committee please receive the data that you've shared with either other representatives, and I guess you have to ask in the right way. We'd like the broken down billing problems, coverage, termination, the complaint-specific data, not including home numbers, phones, addresses, personal data, eye color, nothing like that, just the data breakdown extended to us as it was to the majority party. But Mr. Chair, based on some of that stuff, I would like, if you're going to move this, to move without recommendation. I apologize, I maybe wasn't listening when you made the motion, but I would like this bill to move without recommendation from this committee based on, again, some of the data and some of the problems we've had with this.
Okay. Appreciate that comment. I would also, it sounds like you said Ian Luce with a phone card, if you could share that information with me, and we'd be happy to distribute it to all members relative to, I think he looked into the ABC, the alternative or voluntary approach to it.
The assurance of voluntary compliance.
Assurance of voluntary compliance, indeed.
Well, and Mr. Chairman, thank you for indulging us today. As you can tell, this is not, you know, when roles are reversed, I don't believe Chair Wilkin would put up with this either, so I appreciate your understanding with this. I haven't seen anything like this where requests have been made and information has not been shared. I don't care which party, even if it was Jesse, I would have assumed he would have gotten the data as well. But based on what we've seen in this bill and the lack of communication, at this point, and I apologize, Representative Mason, this is a very passionate issue for you, but we'd have but no choice whatsoever to recommend this for a veto from the governor unless some significant changes are made in Representative Mullery's committee.
Is that about the 300th recommendation of a veto of the governor and
here,
bills
Mr.
that
Chair.
Have come through the various House committees?
Got some ink left in it, Mr. Chair.
Are there other questions or comments from members of the committee or other comments than Representative Mason? Any final comments?
Again, I appreciate your support. This is a consumer bill, and again, we've talked about a lot of statistics, et cetera. All I'm trying to do is to help the consumers that have problems. That's who I'm trying to represent. We know that there's a lot of people representing the companies I'm working for, the individual consumer.
And actually, Representative Mason, I think you just said the statement that literally everyone in the whole room agrees with, whether you're on one side of the bill, the other side of the bill, statutes, and assurance voluntary compliance, industry, everybody in the room. So I think you hit it right on the head. With that, the chair will renew his motion that House File 635 recommend the pass for the Committee on Public Safety as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
That motion carries. Representative Mason, thank you, and thank you to everyone that came here today for this hearing, which is a little bit out of the norm. We do have members, a couple of just administrative matters I've visited with Ian on the minority side as well. The first one is simply approval of the minutes. Representative Johnson has done a roll today. He'll move the minutes to the March 13th meeting. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, that motion carries. Next item is on Senate File 3154. You'll recall that we put on an amendment to the AO 8-1297. This was and in fact the language was already incorporated into the bill as it was presented, so we did not need to put the amendment on. It's Representative Lilly's bill. I'd move reconsideration of Senate File 3154. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, that motion is now before us. Motion then is to withdraw the AO 8-1297 amendment. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, that motion carries. Finally, we'll repass Senate File 3154. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, that motion carries. Finally, we have 3229. That was the residential in the event. It was Mike Nelson's, Representative Nelson's bill regarding discontinuance of utilities and the notice that goes along with it. We learned of a request that it go to the Government Operations Committee, and so we will move to reconsider House File 3229. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, that bill is once again before us, and the chair will move that House File 3229 be recommended pass and referred to the Committee on Governmental Operations. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, that motion carries. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our agenda. As far as the road from here, we've got one more week before the second deadline. In order to process some bills that may need to go to two committees, we are going to find a time to meet on Monday afternoon, I believe relatively briefly. Can't make complete promises yet, and we will do our very best to get notice out in terms of what those bills are going to be as rapidly as we possibly can. The goal then is for them to be able to make the turn and come back in the second committee on Wednesday. We will have our normal committee hearing on Tuesday, and hopefully by meeting Monday, Tuesday will be a walk in the park. But last night I thought went pretty well, mostly because y'all are a bunch of really good members. So with that,
Burns.
All right. Thanks, you guys. Everybody have a good weekend. We stand adjourned.